Hello, everyone, and welcome today to this session from our Learning from Leaders conference series. My name is Carter Brown, and I will be your moderator and interviewer today. I'm excited to be with you all. Thank you all for taking time out of your busy and hectic schedules to join me. Today, folks, you're going to be really, really glad that you did take time out of your schedule to listen to this class, whether you're listening to it live or whether on the recording. I'm really excited to be interviewing the tremendously successful cult consultant, trainer, author, and business owner, Ms. Robin Robbins. She is a remarkable story, very successful in doing a lot of different things, and I'm really excited to be asking her some questions and to have her share some of her experience and knowledge about her business, and also I think some overarching ideas that are going to apply to any of us as people, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, or as someone that just is doing nothing with their life but wants to do more. So Ms. Robbins is an independent marketing consultant, sales trainer, and author that specializes in inexpensive and highly effective marketing strategies for small to medium businesses. In addition to her extensive experience with IT service firms, Robin has also developed marketing strategies for over 1,200 businesses in 14 different industries across North America, Australia, and Europe. This includes both online and offline marketing strategies for computer training schools, universities, franchise organizations, software companies, financial services, seminars, events, member organization, et cetera, et cetera. This vast experience has given Robin a broad knowledge of hundreds of marketing and sales tactics used by some of the most successful and sales-driven organizations in the world. So without further ado, Robin, welcome. It's great to have you. Thank you for taking time.
Oh, my pleasure, Carter. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to help the folks on the line any way I can.
Beautiful. Well, the first thing I thought we'd do, Robin, is have you maybe brag about yourself a little bit. You've got a wonderful life. You've been tremendously successful. I thought maybe what you do and what you could do in getting us started is just talk a little bit about you, your background, and how you've came to where you are today.
Well, you know, it is kind of hard to brag on myself because I caution what I have to say with that I'm in the sort of, I guess, the business improvement, self-improvement industry, and my family thinks I'm a motivational speaker, which I'm not, but I guess to a certain extent I do motivate people to get better results. But, you know, I've spent a lot of time in this world. I've worked very closely and seen the behind the scenes of a lot of very well-known, famous sort of motivational speakers or business success stories. And I'll tell you what the thing that sort of surprised me early on is that there is a whole lot of BS and fluff out there in the business world. So when I share with you the success of that I've had in my life, you know, I share it humbly. I don't want to, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything on the phone, and I'm not certainly trying to say I've got it all figured out or that I'm the best and everybody should, you know, follow me and all the rest of it. I just share with you that I think I have been able to figure out how to win in life, financially, in my health, in my family, in my business. And I'm very blessed. And I just want to say that I'm grateful to God for that. And you know, with Him, through Him, all things are possible. And so I start out with just a very humble heart and saying I'm very grateful for what I have. But I have my own business. I do marketing consulting for IT firms. We've got about 4,500 clients from all over the world that are members of ours. We specialize in that niche, and I am, although not famous in the outer realm of that universe of people, I am the 800-pound gorilla in this niche. My company, we do about $5 million a year. We'll do about we're on track to do $5 million this year. Growth has been steady and consistent year upon year, even in this recession. The only time we've sort of I say flatlined a little bit. We only grew about 6% 1 year. I was pregnant and just decided to kind of take the year off. I mean, I still worked in the business, but, you know, just sort of maintained. Other than that, it's always been a steady growth of about 20% year upon year. A multimillionaire, debt-free. I work from home most days. I come in the office once a week. I have a tremendous staff, and they take care of most of everything that happens. I've got a little girl, you know, in a very happy marriage. I've been married for 10 years, and I'm fit. I've got I'm very athletic and strong. I work out every day. I walk my dogs every day. I get to work from home. So, you know, I guess I'm living the dream, if you will. And I, like I was saying to you earlier on our when we were talking previously, I want to knock on wood every time I say this because it's not an invitation to the universe to send me more challenges because God knows I've had them. But I was able to create all this from really from nothing. I mean, I grew up with no entrepreneurs in the family. So, you know, my father worked his whole life. My mother didn't work. She stayed at home with us, 5 kids. I have no college education. In fact, I have a GED. I didn't even officially graduate from high school. I went to work. My parents divorced when I was very young, so I sort of had to take on more responsibility. My parents divorced when I was 12. And my mother, I went to live with my mother at that point, and she belonged to a religious cult that believed in, that believed money was the root of all evil and that women should not go to work. They should get married, have 12 to 14 children. They didn't believe in medicine. They don't believe in storing wealth, so they don't own their homes. They won't even own cars. They don't save up for a rainy day, no bank accounts, no savings accounts. I mean, they literally live, you know, week to week, and they really genuinely believe that storing up wealth is evil and wrong, and you don't store wealth here on earth. You store it in the kingdom of heaven and all. I mean, so all this programming was in my head from a very young age. And also, they don't believe in bettering yourself. They don't believe in further education. They don't believe in striving or you know, because that's ego. You don't strive to be better. You don't store up wealth. You don't, I mean, all of those things. So if you think about it, I mean, I had the worst programming in the world. I had no examples of an entrepreneur. And that's why I say, I want to give credit to God, because, I mean, otherwise I don't know how someone that comes from my background with this training and no advantages and no money and no education can build what I've been able to build. And I've got relatives that have far better foundations than I did, if you look at it that way, you know, from the standpoint of, you know, belief systems from their parents, encouragement from their parents, schooling. They went to really good schools, you know, all the advantages you would think a person would have in life that would allow them to go on and be a successful person. And I'm, you know, from, if you measure success by wealth, you know, I'm far more advanced than they are. Or if you just measure success by happiness and sort of the fact that I've got my life together, you know. I've been able to accomplish quite a bit.
Beautiful. Thank you very much for that. Now, the one thing that I personally found in my years and years of kind of trying to become a better person and start businesses and create wealth, I'd listen to a lot of speakers, very similar to calls like this, get on webinars. And I always remember I would listen to these speakers and I would look at them and I'd put them up on this pedestal and think, well, they could do it, but there's no way I could do it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love, Robin, what you've just shared, because I think a lot of the participants are thinking, wow, well, I'm kind of in that same situation. I mean, Robin, you didn't graduate from high school. You don't have a college education. You grew up from some huge challenges with your parents and their belief systems. So I hope all of you listen to that and you understand that you can do this as well. I mean, Robin did not come with a Harvard MBA and graduate school and parents that were CEOs, and I know many of you haven't either, so that's why this call will be so valuable. So I guess the obvious question, Robin, is how the heck did you do it?
Right.
With
and
all,
you know,
these disadvantages and without the Harvard MBA or the college background or high school even, how did you do it? Share with us some of your keys to success.
Well, I think that the first key is that I didn't know I was disadvantaged. I think that was probably the biggest benefit. I didn't know what I didn't know. And I think so many people have all these excuses as to why they can't get stuff done. And I really think most people prefer a good excuse to a good opportunity. And, you know, and to add on to that, the niche that I'm in right now, which is it's a relatively small niche. I mean, there's probably about 80,000 potential prospects for me in my universe. I have never owned an IT company, never worked even for one. I mean, I work for an IBM company, but based on the niche I'm selling to, it's not the same. And now I'm the 800-pound gorilla. In fact, I had a Google search engine optimization expert, a very well-known one, work with me on some of my Google AdWords and natural SEO, and he was actually kind of surprised. He said my name was synonymous with managed services, which is a big, huge keyword in this industry. You know, I mean, that's what my niche kind of is. They're managed service providers. So, you know, I also want to point out that I have become an 800-pound gorilla in a niche where I never owned one. And you would think, well, who the heck am I to, you know, to be this expert? But I am. And I think the main thing is it's just it's a lot of it comes down to a couple of things. One of it, the most important thing is belief systems. And, you know, people hear this stuff all the time. I mean, I for a brief period of time, for about under a year, I worked for Tony Robbins. I worked for one of his sales trainers. He has a lot of different companies and divisions, and I worked for this one that did corporate sales training. And, you know, one of the things they would always talk about are belief systems. And, you know, nobody wanted to buy a seminar on how to fix your belief systems. Everyone wanted what's the marketing strategy that's going to double my income, or what's the business strategy? What's the one thing I can do? What's the trick? Or they're looking for some kind of missing key that they think somehow has not been revealed to them. And the reality is there are no secrets, guys. The library is full of books who have of people who have spilled their guts and left no stone unturned about how they were able to be successful, build wealth, and run very profitable businesses. So there are no secrets, and you got to get that out of your head, because if you think there's secrets, you're always going to be searching for it, and you're going to be like overlooking the key stuff. And it comes down to a belief system of, do you believe you can do it? Okay, that's number one, because if you don't, you're not going to strive. It's kind of like, if I'm Mike Carter, this is kind of hard to describe, but I have this thing I teach my students, which is I call the results triangle. And essentially, if you drew a triangle and at the very top you wrote belief at the very top point, and then on the right lower point you wrote actions, and then on the left point of that triangle you wrote results. Okay, so here's how life works, and it works business, whatever, wherever you are where you are today financially, in your health, in your relationships, in whatever it is, problems you're dealing with because of this. And that is, number one, what you believe about anything in life drives the actions you take every single day. And the actions you take every single day determine the results you get. And then the results you get often reinforce the beliefs that you have. So let's say, for example, let's say in your heart of heart, you believe you can't be a millionaire for whatever reason. I mean, there's, you know, one excuse is as good as the next. So maybe you didn't have the education. Maybe you don't think you're smart enough. Maybe you don't think you have the right advantages, or you're in a market that's really competitive, and whatever. I mean, just pick a belief, because it doesn't matter which one it is. They're all going to hold you back. So you have that belief. Well, if you believe you can't be a millionaire, how much action are you going to take towards becoming a millionaire? You're not going to take much action, because you really in your heart don't even believe you can be. So you're not going to work, bang your head against the wall every day, taking a bunch of action on something that you really don't think is going to work anyway. And then because you don't take full action, you might kind of dabble, you kind of try this or you try that, try being the key word. You don't really take full out action. Then you get really terrible results. And your terrible results then reinforce your belief. And you say, see, I told you I can't be a millionaire. And it just becomes either a vicious cycle that goes down and down and down. Or if you had a belief that, you know what, I can figure this out. If I'm dedicated enough, if I'm persistent enough, if I'm flexible enough, I can figure this out. And if you have that belief, you're going to take all kinds of action. You're going to start seeing results, because if you're taking massive action, if you're really applying what you know and you're working hard, you're going to see results. You just got to work hard long enough to see the results, and that's going to get you reinforce your belief. And it, and again, that's going to be either a spiral upwards or it's going to be a spiral downwards. The reality is most people who are stuck, who are not successful in whatever ways it is, it's if you look at what they really believe, they've got all these beliefs that do not support the goals that they want in life. And because of that, they end up just, you know, fizzling out and living a life of desperation and disappointment and not really getting what they want.
So that's awesome. I hope everyone wrote that triangle down. That makes a lot of sense, and it applies to all of us,
mm-hmm.
whether we own an IT company or we're starting a real estate business or whether you're interested in trading stocks or being entrepreneurial or whatever.
Right.
So I guess the next question I would say is, and a lot of the people listening to this call want to do something, Robin, but they're just kind of stuck for whatever reason. Maybe it's their belief patterns that you're talking about. They're not taking action. But I know, because I talk to a lot of our students every day, that they're afraid. They have this great fear of taking this big risk, mm-hmm. and venturing into an e-commerce business or venturing into real estate investing. And they feel like they're taking this huge risk that's going to cost them money or put them in a bad situation. Are you a huge risk taker? Do you have to be a risk taker in order to be successful in business?
No, I'm a little, I guess, contrarian on this. I'm very risk averse. I only want to build on what works, what brings in money, what will drive success. I don't like risk. So, number one, I don't believe in going into debt. Now, again, this is going to shock a number of people if you're in real estate or if you're in investing. There's a lot of people that want you to leverage yourself out, you know, go into a lot of debt. I don't believe that. I don't have any debt in my life. When I buy, and I mean, absolutely no like credit card debt, or we pay cash for our cars. We pay cash for the house we live in, cash for vacations we go on. I mean, nothing. We don't ever buy something, except the only thing I've bought where we did have some debt was the building that we are in. But I have paid this off now. I think we've been here just over 2 years. So I mean, it's not like it was a stretch for us. And I keep a year's income in savings, liquid savings, a whole year, so I could work without earning a dime for a full year, and I would be able to live the exact lifestyle and eat filet mignon every night, no problem. And I keep 6 months of operating capital in a savings fund for my business as well, in case we hit a dip or something happens, or even an opportunity. But mainly, it just keeps the problems at bay. So I'm very, very risk adverse, and I do not believe in spending a ton of money to start a business. I think any business that can be started should be, you pay cash for it and you cash flow it as quickly as possible. I do not believe in leveraging yourself out. I think before you start a business, you ought to be out of debt. You ought to have a year's, 6 months to a year's worth of living expenses saved aside. I think that, you ought to be able to prove a proof of concept very, very early on. I really firmly believe that if you don't know how to make money without money, if I gave you a ton of cash, you wouldn't be able to make money with money either. In fact, I think having money makes you lazy. I think you really need to know, if you're starting up a business, how do you do it with the least amount of risk so you can do a proof of concept, so that when you put your full effort behind it, you know, you're putting your efforts behind something that's working. I mean, when I started this business, I actually started it, I was planning on starting my own business. I was getting out of debt at the time. I went through a period where I was paying for groceries on credit cards. I was, you know, hard luck story, just like a lot of people probably on this call. And so I was getting out of debt. I was storing up my money. I was trying to save. I was living in the cheapest apartment I could find to try and, you know, not spend money and save up. And I got fired from my job. And it was sudden and unexpected. It was right after Christmas. And it was right after September 11th, for those of you that might remember that. So the economy was sort of a tank at the time. Nobody was hiring. And I was really kind of in trouble. And I'll tell you, it took me a full year of working very, very hard to figure out what my niche was going to be and what my business model was be. And I tried multiple things, worked. I used to teach aerobics. Oh, my God, I used to teach like 12 aerobics classes a week just to get money to pay, kind of keep the lights on, if you will. And you know, it just sort of took a little bit of consulting gigs here and there and made some money until I really discovered my niche. And I knew it was right because I started making money, and I started making money relatively easy compared to everything else I was doing. So I knew this was my niche. I knew the model was going to work, and I just had to put my full effort behind it. But just know, guys, I mean, it took me a full year to figure it out. It took me a lot of trial and error, and I didn't leverage myself. I just, you know, I didn't spend any money. I didn't go on vacation. I didn't buy new jewelry. I didn't buy, you know, I didn't buy a house. I lived in the cheapest apartment in a rundown neighborhood. You know, I did all those things until I could get this business successful, you know, so I am very risk adverse, and that's my opinion. Now, I know there's other people who don't believe that, but I'm telling you, that's the way to, for me, that's what worked for me, and that's what I would recommend, and I do advise my clients to do as well.
This is so awesome. Robin, I don't know if you know how valuable what you're sharing is, but it's, I talk to our students all the time, and so many of our students are in that exact same situation that you were in, lost your job, living in an apartment, scraping by, and this is really tremendous. So, but what I've got to talk now is your business is doing well, but isn't the end of the world coming? I mean, we read the news, and everything's bad, and we're in this double-dip recession or depression or whatever people are calling it. Banks aren't lending money, unemployment rates skyrocketing. I mean, there's all this negativity in the market, and we get to the point where we feel like we just want to hide under a rock and cower and do nothing. Mm-hmm. What would be your thoughts on starting a business or being entrepreneurial in the market that we're in right now? Should we be waiting until the market gets better? Should we do it now? What would be some of your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, just like the saying goes, when's the best time to plant an oak tree? 20 years ago and today. So I don't think that today is any better or worse for starting a business. The economy does play into it, and you got to pay attention to market trends, okay? So, like, you would not want to start a movie rental business right now, not with Netflix and the movies on demand with, you know, that's like a dumb business model. So I think it has more to do with the business model you're choosing and your strategy for how you are going to monetize it, how you're going to get clients profitably and build success long term. I think it has more to do with that than it has to do with what's the economy doing. Now, if you're in an existing business and you felt the effects of the economy, if you will, which we all have, I mean, that goes back to where I'm risk averse. I mean, because we are debt free and because we're not living beyond our means, when the economy can take a dive, and you know, I'm not going to freak out, and I make better decisions when I'm not freaked out. So, we have a solid business, we have a solid customer base, and you really got to work to build that and maintain your base in a time of a tough economy. And I think you also need to be flexible because there are going to be some industries that go out of business, all right, so to speak. If you are in real estate and the market's soft, I mean, you're not going to do anything to change the fact that houses are selling for less and people can't get loans. I mean, there's only so many things you have control over, right? There's so the economy and what other people do and what banks do, you can't control it. But what you can be is flexible in your strategy. So if you go, okay, this strategy, when people could get money easy and people were buying houses, you know, being in real estate was a good business model because you could make money. Now that that's not the case anymore, what people tend to do is just hunker down and go, well, I can't make any money. Well, yeah, maybe in that model, but what are you doing to launch something new? What are you doing to change your strategy? I have a good friend, Nito Cobain. Maybe some of you have known Nito Cobain. He's spoken at my events, and he does personal coaching with me. And Nito, you know, one of the things that he's really big on, and I agree with 100%, is diversification and hedging. So in other words, diversifying your business so you don't have all your eggs in one basket, because I think that's where people get stuck. They get all their eggs in one basket. Something changes where their business model is affected. It's something that changes out of their control. But instead of being mature adults and saying, I'm going to take ownership, I'm going to change my strategy, I'm going to try something new, they sit there and sulk and they blame everybody else because they don't want to change and they don't want to learn something new and they want to sit and hope and wait for things to get better. And maybe it will. I mean, maybe it'll come back. But, you know, the whole core of being an entrepreneur, one of the benefits you have, is, especially if you're small, is you can choose to do something different. You can change your strategy. And that's really, I think, what's important now is you've got to look at what's your strategy for making money right now with the way things are. Well, there are opportunities right now. In the IT world where I live, there are companies that are struggling because they're out there trying to sell hardware. And, you know, Dell and HP and all the on-demand, you know, you can barely make money selling hardware these days. So if these guys are just selling laptops and PCs, you know, they're going to – it's only – I'm amazed they've hung on this long. The markets have changed. The industry has changed. They got to find a different way to make money. For those who have, who've switched to selling services and like cloud computing, I mean, literally they are making millions of dollars. There is huge opportunity there that if these IT guys, instead of getting stuck in a rut with where they are now, if they were they paid attention to market trends and they saw where it was going and were flexible and learned new skills and changed their strategy, could be riding high on that. But so, again, it's not necessarily the economy. The economies are always going to flux the way these are. The question is, how are you going to respond to it? And that's really what we're talking about here. And so I think if you're willing to be flexible and you're willing to pay attention to market trends and not be a whiner, complainer, and just get things done, I think now's a great time to start a business.
I love it. So, and that's so much what I think our students need to hear is, it's not whether or not you should start a business in this challenging environment. It should be what business you're going to start or what market are you going to pursue. So very, very relevant. Now, you've had success, obviously, Robin. So let me ask you, would you share with us maybe two or three things you do every single day to ensure your success?
I think habits are really key. So habits meaning, you know, rituals or things that you do consistently every day. Because I've often said that I think that every action you take is either moving you closer to the goals you want or it's taking you away. There's no treading water, okay? So I think you do really have to pay attention to daily habits. What do you do day in and day out? And one of the things I do every single day, it's a lot of things, a lot of habits I have. One of them is certainly being very time focused. You know, where do you spend your time? What are you going to accomplish today? Being able to focus so you're not on Facebook and Twitter and checking email every 5 minutes, things like that. That is a discipline that I've got to work on every single day because it doesn't come easy. I think we all want those distractions. So every single day, one of the things I work on is that discipline of planning and deciding what's most important and, you know, making myself work until I'm finished. Like I was sharing with you, I saw this on a Nike t-shirt, which is just great. And it said, I don't quit when I'm tired. I quit when I'm finished. And that's really my mantra. You got to work every day. You got to set goals. You got to know what's most important. You got to make decisions and you got to get it done. I think so many people waste so much time going in between tasks. They don't have any, first of all, they have no goals. Then they have no idea what's most important, so they don't know how to make decisions there. And they spend so much time goofing around, you know, checking email and doing these other things, they never really get anything really done. I mean, done, executed, implemented, moved forward. And I think that's one of the number one disciplines you've got to do. Other habits I make sure I do every day, I always take time to eat healthy, drink a lot of water, get enough sleep. I go to bed at 9:30 every single night, and I'm up at 5 a.m. working. And that's a habit because 5 a.m. I get up, I literally, coffee's on autopilot, so it's done while I, you know, get up, walk downstairs, cup of coffee, right to work, and I know exactly what I'm going to work on, and I've got no interruptions, my brain is fresh, I go right to work. And work a couple hours, and then, of course, I exercise. I've got to stay fit because you can't maintain the level of energy and passion you need to be successful in life and in your business if your health is poor. So you've got to take care of yourself. I work out, I eat healthy, drink enough water. You know, I don't smoke. I don't do a lot of the things that people do to damage their health. So that's and we underestimate that, but that's really important to success. I mean, at least for me, because I've got a little baby. You know, I've got a lot of things going on, and so I've got to be at peak performance. So those, I think, are the two big things. I mean, there's a lot of things I do, but I think those are the two main habits I do every day that really contribute to my success.
Beautiful. So, Robin, I know you're busy. I don't want to keep you longer than promised. So I guess the last question I have for you would be, if you were sitting down or if you were talking to one of our students that was kind of stuck in a dead-end job, not really excited all about life, certainly not living the kind of life that you're living. They want to do something different. Maybe they kind of have some ideas, but they're not really sure what to do with them. What would be some specific advice that you would give to that person, an aspiring business owner, entrepreneur, or someone that wanted to actually do something different with their life? What advice would you give them?
Well, you know, I think you got to tap into your passion. And this sounds really trite, but guys, it's like the truth. I see so many dispassionate people in jobs and entrepreneurs, by the way, people who own business. They have no passion for what they do. And so they just go through every day. It's kind of like they're not happy with the way things are. They're not happy with their health. They're not happy with their finances. They're disappointed at their stature in life. They feel like they should be further along than they are. They're disappointed with sort of the results that they've had. But they're not dissatisfied enough to do anything about it. And so I don't know what it takes for you to fire yourself up. Everybody's different, right? I think, you know, you got to tap into what's really going to drive you to take action and see it through. Because guess what, guys? It's easy to get fired up for a little bit. But then, you know, stuff's going to happen. You're going to have disappointments. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to get tired. And the question is, what are you going to do to yourself, to motivate yourself, to keep yourself passionate and excited so that you don't let that thing, that goal, go? Because I think that's really what it is. People go to a seminar. They get on a teleseminar like this, and they get all fired up, and they go, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make a change. And they do it for a couple days, and then they get tired, or there's a setback, or there's an interruption, or there's something that happens. And guess what? That happens to me every single day, every week. There's some kind of setback or disappointment or something that doesn't quite go the way I planned it to. And often, sometimes they come in a row, and so it's one after the other after the other. But the thing is, I don't dwell on it. I just, you know, what's the next thing I'm going to do? What's the next initiative? How am I going to correct that? And I'm always, always striving forward. And so I think you've got to tap into your passion, because I think so many people just give this lip service. They say they're stuck, and they say, I don't know what to do, or I've tried things and I'm afraid. And I mean, look, you know what? If you're on fire, if you really want to achieve something in life, you will figure it out, because you'll take action. You'll make mistakes, but you'll correct them, because if you're moving forward, even if you make a mistake, if you move forward again, you're going to keep going down that path. It might zigzag, but you'll get there. It's just a matter of the first zig or the first zag. Are you going to go off track and go right back into your old habits, or are you really going to see it through? And I think that's it. I think we get the results in business and in life of exactly what we want. It's not a lack of know-how. It's not a lack of anything or resources. It's just a lack of desire to actually get it done. So I think you got to really be honest with yourself and say, whatever goal it is that you want, do you really want it? Because don't just say, I want more money. I mean, you don't just sit around wishing for more money and it just shows up. I mean, you got to actually really want it to the point of taking action, massive action, way more than you think, and seeing it through. And unless you're really willing to do that, then, you know, shut up. Just go get a job and be happy and be grateful with what you've got, because otherwise you're just complaining and you're not contributing to anything. You're just making yourself miserable.
So, Robin, how can people get a hold of you? If some of the participants are more interested in what you're doing, or how they can reach you or reach more of your material and information, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, you know, for most of the people on this call, I mean, unless you're a managed service provider, and if you are, you'll know what that means. If you don't know what that means, then you're not my ideal kind of client, you know what I mean? But, you know, I mean, if you're a managed service provider happen to listen to this, you know, you can go to my website, which is technologymarketingtoolkit.com, and there's tons of resources there to help you. You know, I don't have anything to sell to the folks here today. I mean, I don't have, you know, I don't do a lot of private consulting. You know, I don't have a product to sell anybody here. I mean, I mean, you can join my list. You're welcome to get on my list and kind of eavesdrop on what I'm doing. Yeah, I mean, I think if you just want to do that, just, you can just go to my website, technologymarketingtoolkit.com. But, you know, I'll just tell you folks, and I'm not saying this to be cute or clever and trying to do a little wink, wink, nod, nod. I'm not taking clients and, you know, but I really am, and it's a takeaway. I mean, I'm genuinely, I'm not taking one-on-one clients or consulting. And if you're not a managed service provider, you're probably not a good fit for my audience. And, you know, so, but you guys are welcome to come to my website, join the list and eavesdrop or whatever. But I'm sorry. I guess that's not really the answer you're looking for, but that's about
offer. That is the answer. I mean, if they can go to your website there and find out a little bit more about you and what you do, and I think, to be honest with you, Robin, the fact that you're not selling anything gives a heck of a lot more credence to what you've said today, because you weren't setting everybody up to hit them with a sales pitch. So I think that makes it even more relevant and more powerful than I personally think it was anyway. So
okay.
So thank you for that. But
okay.
Well, anyway, so that's our time for today, Robin, and this has been tremendous for me personally, but I know also for our students. So let me first thank you for your time. I know you're busy. You were very kind and gracious to do this with us today, so thank you.
All right, thank you.
And thank all the rest, all you participants on the call. I appreciate your time. And now it's up to you. Robin's given you tremendous information and motivation, hopefully, and ideas and thoughts. And now it's up to you to get out there and utilize the bottom right-hand part of the triangle Robin talked about, which is action. And I think that's what is most relevant for all of us, is we have to do something. And it might have come off as a little harsh, but when Robin said, if you're not willing to take action, then just be quiet and go get yourself a job. Because if you're not willing to take the action, then nothing's going to happen. So now the ball's in your court. But thanks again, everybody. And Robin, again, thank you. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye now.